Service Pack release candidates dot the landscape as new Windows Server OSs emerge. This is the Windows Week in Review for Thursday, February 21st, 2008. I'm Dave Nielsen. Let's take a look at some of the stories that made news in the world of Windows this past week. Remember, you can stay up to date with the latest Windows news on searchwinit.com. Leading off this week, Microsoft has made the second release candidate for Windows XP Service Pack 3 available for public download. The most recent XPSP build was released to 15,000 testers 2 weeks ago, but is now being made available to the public through Microsoft Windows Update Service. Computer World reports that Microsoft has been ambiguous with the release date for the final version of the new XP Service Pack, saying only that it will be released in the first half of 2008. However, if the way they handled Vista SP1 is any indicator, XP SP3 could be expected sooner rather than later. With Vista SP1, the time between availability for public download and the release to manufacturing was only 22 days. Another indicator that XP SP3 could drop soon is that, with Vista SP1, revised release notes were posted mere days before it went RTM. The first version of XP SP3 release notes were posted this week on Microsoft's website. As for Vista Service Pack 1, Microsoft has pulled an update for Vista that was designed for SP1 off of Windows Update. The update consists of two files that modify some of Vista's install components, but in some cases, these files have caused machines to either reboot over and over again or to not boot at all. Computer World reports that the decision to remove the update from automatic distribution was made by Nick White, a Vista program manager. White said that the problem was update ID 937287, which is a component that, quote, handles the installation and the removal of software updates, language packs, optional Windows features, and service packs, end quote. The pair of files is required before users can use Vista SP1. While the extent of these problems and the exact reason the files are causing problems are not known, related issues can be traced back as far as December 13th, one day after Microsoft offered Vista SP1 RC1 to the public. For the time being, only beta testers, volume licensing customers, and subscribers to TechNet Plus and the Microsoft developer have been able to download the official service pack. In related news, a report out of CNET has shed light on some other reasons users might want to think twice before installing Vista SP1. This week, Microsoft released a list of programs that will not work properly once Vista SP1 is installed. The majority of this list is made up of, but not limited to, security programs. For example, Trend Micro's Internet Security 2008 program is on this list, but so is the Reader application for the New York Times. So, it's possible for problems to pop up in several different areas of machines that are running Windows Vista with SP1 installed. Microsoft advises users to first restart their machines when they experience problems. If that doesn't work, users should contact software vendors or get updated versions of the broken programs. The list also does not feature every program that could possibly break. So, just because your broken program does not appear on a list does not necessarily mean that it won't be affected by Vista SP1. With backwards compatibility already a problem in organizations that have deployed Vista, the potential problems caused by SP1 could only make matters worse, especially considering that many organizations were intending on running Vista after the service pack was released. In other news, we'll move away from service packs now and take a look at some product release news from this week. In particular, Microsoft has announced the debut of Windows 2008 small and medium-sized server products. Users can expect these products in the second half of this year. Windows IT Pro reports that these new products are aimed at companies that have a very small or even a non-existent IT staff. Microsoft will host demos of the new products called Windows Small Business Server 2008 and Windows Essential Business Server 2008 in Los Angeles next week. Windows Small Business Server 2008 is designed for companies with 50 PCs or less and comes with Windows Server 2008, Exchange 2008, and SharePoint Service 3.0. It also includes free trials for Forefront Security for Exchange Server Small Business Edition, as well as Windows Live OneCare for Server. As for Windows Essential Business Server 2008, it's designed for organizations with 250 PCs or fewer. It ships with Windows Server 2008 and Exchange 2007, as well as Forefront Security for Exchange Server, System Center Essentials 2007, and a new version of Internet Security and Acceleration Server. Speaking of new servers, a report on Computer World states that a recent survey cites security as the biggest draw of Windows Server 2008. CDW Corp polled 800 IT decision makers, with 49% saying that the new server operating system security features are the most intriguing benefits to their companies. These decision makers are also looking forward to faster setup and configuration, simple administration tasks, and integrated virtualization. As far as IT pros' biggest concerns regarding Windows Server 2008, nearly half of all respondents said that possible bugs ranked number one. Application compatibility was second on that list, cited by 41% of those surveyed. Moving on to some mobile computing news, SearchOne IT reports that, like many of its competitors, Microsoft's Mobile Device Manager comes up short in terms of managing different types of handheld devices. Microsoft's System Center Mobile Device Manager 2008 was just released to manufacturing this week. According to Enterprise Management Associates analyst Andy Mann, this product, like many others in its market, falls short in multiple platform support. Microsoft has not laid out a support plan for how they will handle non-Windows handhelds, but they have joined forces with Enterprise Mobile of Watertown, Mass., in an attempt to offer integration services between Microsoft's mobile operating system and other devices. For the time being, until cross-platform support becomes a reality, handling devices from other vendors is a problem left to IT personnel to solve. And finally, on the subject of multi-platform interoperability, a report on SearchOne IT states that Microsoft has announced that it will be publishing file sharing and user authentication protocols for their major platform products. These products include Vista, Windows 2008, SQL Server 2008, Office 2007, Exchange Server 2007, and Office SharePoint Server 2007. This announcement is expected to make it easier for IT managers to go back and forth between platforms, as now Linux, Unix, mainframes, or any other piece of network gear will be able to communicate more effectively with Active Directory or a file server. Microsoft clients can now talk to Solaris boxes and mainframes as well. The published code will feature more than 30,000 pages of documentation for Windows client and server protocols that were previously kept private. The decision to go forward with this initiative is likely a response to the European Union's demands that Microsoft make these protocols publicly available. And that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more news from the world of Windows. Until then, be sure to check out SearchOneIT.com throughout the week for all of the latest Windows news and expert advice. I'm Dave Nielsen. Thanks for listening.